This episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Hello there, and welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 565. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. If this is your first time here, I'm happy to see you. If you're a longtime member of the LifeSpring family, welcome back. You ever heard anybody say, I need to read the Bible more, but I just can't stick to it? Well, tell them about this podcast, because this is the podcast that helps you stay on track. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we read the Old Testament, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we read the New Testament. Today, we're going to read Hebrews 3-5 from the New English Translation. Let's begin. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling, take note of Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess, who is faithful to the one who appointed him, as Moses was also in God's house. For he has come to deserve greater glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house deserves greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that would be spoken. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. We are of his house if in fact we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope we take pride in. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, Oh, that today you would listen as he speaks. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of testing in the wilderness. There your fathers tested me and tried me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I became provoked at that generation, and said, Their hearts are always wandering, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my anger, they will never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil, unbelieving heart that forsakes the living God. But exhort one another each day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may become hardened by sin's deception. For we have become partners with Christ, if in fact we hold our initial confidence firm until the end. As it says, Oh, that today you would listen as he speaks, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For which ones heard and rebelled? Was it not all who came out of Egypt under Moses' leadership? And against whom was God provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose dead bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would never enter into this rest, except those who were disobedient? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore we must be wary that, while the promise of entering his rest remains open, none of you may seem to have come short of it. For we had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard did them no good, since they did not join in with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, As I swore in my anger, they will never enter my rest. And yet God's works were accomplished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken somewhere about the seventh day in this way, And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. But to repeat the text cited earlier, They will never enter my rest. Therefore it remains for some to enter it. Yet those to whom it was previously proclaimed did not enter because of disobedience. So God again ordains a certain day, today, speaking through David after so long a time, as in the words quoted before, Oh, that today you would listen as he speaks, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken afterward about another day. Consequently, a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. For the one who enters God's rest has also rested from his works, just as God did from his own works. Thus we must make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by following the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit and joints from marrow. It is able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart. And no creature is hidden from God, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest is taken from among the people and appointed to represent them before God, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal compassionately with those who are ignorant and erring, since he also is subject to weakness, and for this reason he is obligated to make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. And no one assumes this honor on his own initiative, but only when called to it by God, as in fact Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming high priest, but the one who glorified him was God, who said to him, "You are my son, today I have fathered you." And also in another place God says, "You are a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During his earthly life, Christ offered both requests and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his devotion. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And by being perfected in this way, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And he was designated by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek. On this topic, we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain since you have become sluggish in learning. For though you should, in fact, be teachers by this time, you need someone to teach you the beginning elements of God's utterances. You have gone back to needing milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced in the message of righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, whose perceptions are trained by practice to discern both good and evil. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. We'll get to my comments in just a moment, but first I'd like to share with you a comment from someone who bought Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide from Amazon. The reviewer's name is Cosre, and here's the review. They say, "Finally, a pronunciation guide we can understand. No need for a graduate degree in phonetics. Great resource." Well, thank you, Cosre. I told you my book was easy to use, and Cosre agrees. Honestly, even the longest, most intimidating-looking name in the Bible is easy to say when you have my book. You don't need to be nervous about embarrassing yourself when you're asked to read the Bible in front of a group ever again. If you're homeschooling your kids, they can learn at an early age how to say Bible names correctly. If you're a Bible study leader, your group will know that you've done your prep when you say those names effortlessly. If you would like to have the confidence that comes with saying Bible names correctly, you can download a PDF version of Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide right now, or you can order a physical copy of the book, both from easybiblenamesguide.com. You can even sign up for my email list there and get the first chapter of the book, Every Name That Begins with a Letter A, for free. Just go to easybiblenamesguide.com. Thanks. The author in chapter 3 compares Jesus to Moses. Why would he do that? Because the primary audience for the book is the Hebrews or Jews, and Moses was their most highly regarded person. The author is explaining how and why Jesus was to be held in even higher regard than Moses. And he does this by making some opening statements in the first 6 verses of chapter 3. And then he refers back to Psalms chapter 95, a book from the Old Testament, or as the Jews know it, the Torah. In doing this, he takes them to familiar ground. Psalm 95 is a warning to the Jews not to harden their hearts toward God, as their ancestors did when Moses led them through the desert for 40 years. Because they did that, God did not allow them to enter the Promised Land. He waited until that entire generation passed away before allowing the next generation to receive the promise. We humans tend to be impatient. Have you ever noticed that? When I was a new believer, the first time I attempted to read through the Bible and I read about how God delivered the Jews from the Egyptian Pharaoh and slavery, how God parted the Red Sea to make an escape route as they were being pursued by Pharaoh and his army, and how they soon turned to worshiping a golden calf when Moses was on the mountain receiving the tablets from the hand of God. I was amazed at how quickly they forgot the Lord. How stupid can these people be, I thought. How can they forget the miraculous way that God delivered them? Why would they so quickly turn their backs on God? And then God spoke to my heart, and He said, "You do the same thing." And it was true. Being so young in my faith, I'd only been a Christian for about 5 years, I knew that there had been times that I had forgotten God. I knew that I had already failed Him and decided to do my own thing. Yes, God is faithful, and when I asked forgiveness, He was quick to forgive. And as He gently spoke to my heart that day about how I was no different than the Jews who forgot Him, I realized that I was no better and no worse than the Jews. I realized that I must make a concerted effort to stay close to Him, to make an effort to remember the times that He did something wonderful and, yes, miraculous for me. I wish that I could say that since that day I never turned my back on God again, but I'd be lying. I was about 21 years old then, and I just turned 61 a few days ago. During those intervening 40 years, I have failed Him countless times. I'm not proud of that, but I've learned and I've grown increasingly appreciative of His gift of forgiveness. He promises in His Word to forgive us, not because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus did for us. As I look back, I'm amazed and humbled that God cares for me, but it's only because He sees me through the lens of the sacrifice of Jesus. Because of this, the Father sees me as blameless. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Does God forgive? Oh yes, He does. Have a comment? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. Thanks for being here. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.